Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowd were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes, as their scribes. Let's pray. The first people who heard you speak were astonished, Lord Jesus. And for the past 2,000 years all over the world, people have been astonished at your teaching, gobsmacked. This morning, will you open our ears to hear? Please help us not to be distracted, but to focus, listen, weigh up what you say. And may your sweet spirit be at work in us, that we too will be astonished at your teaching. There's no one like you. Others teach like scribes and Pharisees and prophets. You alone teach as God. Help us, we pray. Amen. Now, some things are very easy to say. Some things are easier to say than other things. Some words just are easy. Let's take, for example, the word everyone. Everyone. That's a very easy thing to say. Everyone. I'll tell you why it's easy. Because it's just a blanket statement. It's so easy. It's got no judgment to it. Everyone. Everyone. That sounds cool, right? Everyone. There's no judgments, no divisions, no exceptions, no finding fault, no choosing this group over that group, no discrimination. Everyone. It's a very easy thing to say. And of course, therefore, the word everyone is a popular word. Everyone. And you might be surprised this morning to hear that the Bible is full of everyone's. I could give you a few examples. Everyone is created equal. Everyone is created equal. The Bible makes that absolutely clear. People, everyone is equal, created equal. Now, you need to know that idea doesn't come from people. Don't be gullible. Study history, you will see. The history of this world has not always believed that. You were born with noble blood, or you were born a peasant. The world has always operated like that. But when the Bible comes along and challenges a culture, the Bible teaches everyone is equal. In fact, that truth is not self-evidently true. Don't be ignorant. Don't think it's obvious. You think that because you're in a culture that's been influenced by the Bible. If you go read Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail, which I read this week, you would see how he proves that all people are equal. And how does he prove it? Constantly referring to the Bible. In fact, he even quotes this Sermon on the Mount from Jesus. So the Bible teaches everyone is created equal. Here's another everyone for you. Everyone has value and dignity. And again, human beings have not always believed this. Where does the idea come from? Think about it. Why is it okay to drive over a cat and not drive over a child? Why is it not okay to drive over a child? Why does a child have inherent value more than a cat? The answer is, well, actually, it's a uniquely Bible idea. Uniquely Bible idea. Everyone has value. On what basis? Because we got two legs and cats have got four. On what basis? Well, the answer is, as the Bible teaches, because only people are in the image of God. And history has not come up with this idea by itself. When the Bible first came into the world, many religions sacrificed their children to the gods. In fact, in Rome, it was common practice. Oh no, can you believe it? My wife had another girl. Well, that's okay, I'll leave her on the doorstep. And then when they collect the rubbish, off she goes with it. That was normal. That's not a horror story. That's normal. It was Christians who went around picking up little babies because they believed that people are inherently valuable. Today, if an adult thinks that a child is inconvenient, you can kill it if it's a boy or a girl before it's born because it's inconvenient. But the Bible says everyone is valuable. Everyone is inherently worthy and full of dignity. I'll give you another example. The Bible says everyone has purpose and meaning. A lot of people haven't discovered it, but it's true nonetheless. You're not an accident. Don't believe them. You're not an accident. The Bible says everyone has purpose and dignity. Here's another example. The Bible says everyone is free to decide. Everyone is free to choose. If you go back in history, most societies believed in fate. They believed you were destined to kick your toe on a rock or whatever. The Bible says you're free to make choices. Free. Here's another example. The Bible says everyone will be judged. You may not like that idea, but I'll tell you why. Because everyone is free to make choices. You don't judge machines because they're programmed. You don't judge animals because they're programmed. It's instinctive. But you and I are free. We make moral choices. And God takes those choices very, very seriously. And they matter. And therefore, everyone will be judged. I'll give you one last example. This is the easiest one to prove. Everyone dies. Everyone dies. Can you think of someone in your suburb who's not going to die? No, me neither. Death is the most democratic thing in the world. 100% of people die. Everyone dies, which means everyone is in the same boat. Hear this. Everyone is in the same boat. There's no point in saying, well, everyone's got their own views on this. Everyone's got their own views on this. You know, not everyone likes Vegemite, you know. It's not about choices. It's about reality. Everyone dies. And so everyone must figure out, is there life after death? Really? Is there? I better check this out. Truth matters to everyone. In fact, let me give you one last everyone. The Bible teaches God loves everyone without exception. Everyone. God loves everyone. Black, white, male, female, gay, straight, believer, unbeliever. God loves everyone. Now tell me, don't you think everyone is a cool word? Such an easy word, rolls off your mouth. Everyone. Everyone's going, there's another everyone. Everyone's going, yeah, that's everyone. I like that. So what a surprise to see what Jesus says in verse 21. Look at verse 21. Look at the first two words. Not everyone. Oh my goodness. Why can't he just go with the flow? Not everyone. It's such a Everyone's easy to say. Jesus is saying something not cool. Jesus is saying something discriminating. He says, not everyone. And it takes a tough guy to say this. Why are bouncers so big? Have you ever seen a geek as a bouncer? I'll throw my Microsoft Office at you or what, you know? Why are bouncers so big? Because it's hard to say, no, not everyone. You go to the footy and there's a big bouncer at the VIP lounge and crowds are trying to get in to say goodbye to Sandylands or whatever. And the big bouncer stands at the door and he says, whoa, buddy, you're not coming in here. Everyone wants to get in, but it takes a big tough guy to say, not you. Not everyone. If he should turn around and go, hey, everyone, come on in. Don't you think there'll be a cheer? Don't you think there'll be a, hey, this is the best bouncer I've ever met. Jesus is a tough guy. Not everyone. It's a hard thing to say. We don't like that phrase. If you tell me not everyone, it implies discrimination. It implies judgment. It implies you're dividing between people. People who God loves. People who have inherent dignity. People who are equal. But you're dividing. But who gets to draw the line? Who gets to say? Not everyone. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me. Oh my goodness, me. Jesus puts himself at the center of everything. He says, it is me. I judge. I decide. I say, not everyone. He puts himself at the center of everything. Jesus is the bouncer. And what does he decide? Well, look what he says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gets to say who comes in, who stays out. He is the bouncer. It doesn't matter what your friends think of you. It doesn't matter what mommy and daddy say. It doesn't matter what your church says. It doesn't matter what you tell yourself. Jesus says, I decide. I decide. It doesn't matter if the whole world thinks everyone gets in. It doesn't matter. Not everyone gets in because Jesus says, I decide. And to some, in fact, look at verse 23. Jesus is going to say something awful. Look at verse 23. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Get away from me. You're forever. Your eternal destiny will come out of the mouth of Jesus. Your life doesn't hang in the balance. Your life hangs on the lips of Jesus. He will decide. He will appoint you your eternal destiny. Jesus will say to you, come on in. Or Jesus will say, get away from me. So I think we should listen and see on what grounds does he make discrimination. And he tells us in this passage. And we're only going to see two things this morning. Here's the first thing. Not everyone who thinks they will enter the kingdom of heaven will enter. It's shocking. Look what Jesus says in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's so clear. Everybody, there's another everyone. Everyone, listen to Jesus. Not everyone. What happens if I tell you, even in this room, not everyone? Do you like that? Could it be you? Even in this room, take a good look around. There are some people here today you will never, ever see again because Jesus will say, I don't know you. Yeah, but come on, Dwayne. Can't you see I gave up golf? I'm here in church this morning. You got that wrong. This is not heaven. Probably knew that looking at the people around you. This is just a building. This is a church. It's not heaven. Coming here doesn't guarantee you. We don't have bouncers here. You're welcome. Oh, no, yeah. Dwayne. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is Lord. So, look what Jesus says in verse 22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord. You can say Jesus is Lord. You can call yourself a Christian. You can have Christian tattooed on your forehead. Doesn't mean you are a Christian. In fact, implicit in what Jesus says is another everyone. Look what he says in verse 22. On that day, there's another everyone. There is a day where everyone will be there. Everyone, without exception, will stand before Jesus. I love the way Donald Trump invited the captain of the USA soccer side, ladies soccer side, they won the World Cup. So he invited her to the White House. She's an angry lesbian. And so what she replied is, I'll be somewhere else. Which is fine. When Jesus summons the universe, you won't be saying, I'll be somewhere else. You'll be there. Everyone will be there. Everyone will meet Jesus Christ. You will never meet Muhammad. You will never meet Donald Trump. You will never meet the Pope. You will meet Jesus. Everyone will meet him. And on that day, this is quite strange, because you know what he gives us here? He gives us a transcript of the trial before it happens. So we get to read what happens. This is amazing. Here's the transcript of the trial. Here's what people will say to him. Here's what he will say to them. First of all, look at verse 22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Ah, now Jesus, hear this. Here's my defense. I know I'm a Christian. Do you know why? So I prophesied in your name. There I was in church. The music was intense. The lights were low. And there was a smoke machine. And I got so emotional. And then suddenly, the strange feeling came over me. And there was a lady sitting in the front row. And I felt compelled to go to her. And I said to her, your uncle's going to be okay. I don't even know where. And she just burst out into tears. So Jesus, when I meet you, I know that I'm a Christian. I prophesied in your name. And Jesus will say, shh, I don't know you. Get away from me. By the way, that what I described is not prophecy. That's called soothsaying. It's not Christian at all. Look at verse 22. And on that day, look at verse 22. They'll say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Look at the second thing. And cast out demons in your name. I know Jesus is going to let me into heaven. Do you know why? Because I was in church one day. And I tell you what, this guy went into a complete spasm. He fell on the floor. He just lay there. And I prayed over him. And I said, in Jesus' name be free. And the next thing, whoa, it went nuts and they had to take him. It was an amazing deliverance. So I must be a Christian, right? Jesus will say, shh, I don't know you. Get away from me. Oh, well, no. You see, I am a Christian. I know I'm getting into heaven. Because I healed people in Jesus' name. Look what it says in verse 22. And on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name. And look at this. And do many mighty works in the name of Jesus. In your name. Jesus must accept me. Because I ran this ministry called Signs and Wonders Ministries International. It's got to have the word international in it, okay? Signs and Wonders Ministries International. I traveled the world. I said to people, in the name of Jesus, may your leg grow longer. I said to them, in the name of Jesus, may your cancer depart. Funny enough, I didn't heal anyone with Down syndrome, because that's a hard one for Jesus. But hey, I baptized someone and their tattoos came off in the name of Jesus. So I must be on Jesus' side, right? And Jesus will say, shh, I never knew you. Get away from me. I didn't even know what you were doing. Not everyone. Not everyone. Not everything that is done in the name of Jesus is of Jesus. He tells us. Not everyone who thinks they're a Christian really is a Christian. Not everyone. We live in a society, listen to this, where what I say about myself counts. What I say about myself goes. Everyone must submit to what I say about myself. My self-identification is the highest value. If I say I'm a girl, if I self-identify as a girl, you must submit to what I say. If biology says I'm a boy, if science says I'm a boy, you must not listen to biology. You must not listen to science. You must listen to me, because I self-identify as a girl. If I say I'm a Christian, you must accept that. Actually, Jesus must accept it too. No, says Jesus. I will decide, not you. In fact, Jesus gets to decide whether you're a boy or girl as well, but that's another subject, not you. Not everyone. Oh, wow, this is negative. Dwayne, it's my baptism today, and I invited friends. Can you say something happy? I've got such great news for you. I've got happy news for you. Because look at verse 24. There's our favorite word. Everyone. Oh, phew. There is good news. Everyone. And that's the second thing we're going to see this morning. Not everyone who thinks they will enter the kingdom of heaven will enter. But listen, listen. Everyone, without exception, who builds their life on Jesus' words will be saved from destruction. Everyone. Everyone. Here is Christianity at its inclusive best. Christianity is not exclusive. Because we're begging everyone to come. Jesus is begging everyone. And everyone who builds their life on the words of Jesus will enter the kingdom of heaven. Look what he says. Look at verse 24. Everyone then, two things you need to do, who hears these words of mine. So what's the first thing? You need to hear. You need to hear Jesus' words. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven unless you're listening to what Jesus says. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven if you're listening to the world's words. You won't enter the kingdom of heaven if you're listening to the church's words. You won't enter the kingdom of heaven if you're listening to Taze Russell's words. You won't enter the kingdom of heaven if you're listening to Joseph Smith's words. You can only enter if you listen to Jesus' words. And that's why at North Coast Church, we only teach Jesus' words. We only teach the Bible. We don't add to the Bible. Here is the Bible, Jesus' words. We don't need Muhammad. We don't need Taze Russell. We don't need Joseph Smith. We don't need any. Why would you want to add to Jesus? But listening is not enough. Look at verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, and look at the next thing, and does them. Did you all hear? Does them. It's about obeying Jesus' words, not just hearing them. It's about doing what he says. So let me ask you, let me ask me, Dwayne, will you listen? Okay. Have you done everything that Jesus says? Have you? Let's see. Have you loved God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength? Have you? Because those are Jesus' words. Have you done it? Oh, no, you haven't. Oh, well, you're not entering. How about these words? These are Jesus' words. Have you loved your neighbor as you've loved yourself? Those are Jesus' words. Have you done it? Oh, no. Well, then you're not entering. And, oh, wait, nor am I. I haven't done it either. Here's Jesus' words. As we've studied the Sermon on the Mount, have you ever looked at someone else with lust? You didn't do anything, but it was in your heart. Have you? Those are Jesus' words. Have you done that? Oh, you haven't. Oh, dear. Well, then you're not entering. If any of you sitting here thinking, I've done this, ask your wife. She'll pop your bubble. Have you loved your enemies? Have you loved your enemies? Those are Jesus' words. Oh, you haven't. Oh, sorry, you're not entering. Nor am I. Is there anyone here this morning left who has honestly heard what Jesus says and has done what he says? Can you see why verse 24 is a massive problem? It's a problem. No one has done this. No one. Jesus will not lower the bar. That's the bar. And none of us make it. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to Jesus, because that's not all he says. In fact, look what he says in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Look at this. But the one who does the will of my Father. See, Jesus said a lot of things, but one of the sweetest things he taught is what God wants from us. What is the Father's will? Only those who do the Father's will. What's the Father's will? Well, fortunately, when Jesus was on earth, someone asked him that question. And here it is for you. It comes from John's Gospel. Look what happened. Someone came to Jesus and said, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do to do God's will? Here's what Jesus said. This is the work of God. Do you want to do God's work? Yeah, here it comes. That you believe in him whom he has sent. Jesus. Jesus says, if you want to do the Father's will, you have to believe me. And more, Jesus didn't just come to teach. In fact, Jesus came into the world to do something. Look at verse 29, 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as no other religious teacher, as one who had authority, not as the scribes. Jesus was different to every other teacher, because he didn't just come to teach. You might be sitting here this morning saying, this is what I expected. I'm only here because I'm a family. Because I expected Christianity to be so judgmental. But listen, Jesus actually didn't even come to judge. Have a look at what he says about himself. This is what Jesus says. For God so loved everyone that he gave his only son. He didn't give a teacher. He gave his son. That whoever, that's everyone, believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I know you heard condemnation. Good. Because that should drive you to the son. Because he didn't come to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came not just as a teacher. He came as a savior. He did something. Here's what he did. He lived a perfect life. Who kept the Sermon on the Mount? Do you know anybody? Nobody. Jesus kept the Sermon on the Mount. He lived a perfect life. And then do you know what he did? He died. Why? He died your death. When you and I fail, Jesus died in our place. He's our substitute. He died on that cross, bearing the penalty for our sins. God never has to say to you, get away from me, I don't know you, because the Father said to the Son on the cross, get away from me. Which is why Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was dying for you, in your place. And so Jesus has the right to say who comes in and who stays out. Here's the Christian life. It is to build your life on Jesus. It is to believe what he says, trust what he says, and obey. So I trust Jesus for dying him up. No one else has died for me, so I can't trust those other teachers. Jesus died for me. I trust him, and then I obey him. Oh dear, but then I sin. Oh wait, I'll go back and trust him again, and then I'll obey him. Yeah, but then on Wednesday I'll sin. Oh wait, I'll go back. I'll trust him again. Then I'll obey him. Yeah, but then I'll sin again. Then I'll go back. And so the whole Christian life is trust, obey, trust, obey, trust and obey. There's no other way. Only those who keep trusting Jesus and obeying Jesus will enter the kingdom of heaven. Let me close with a picture for you. It's a picture Jesus told. Let me just read it to you quickly. Look at what he said. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the collapse, the fall of it. Do you think Jesus is just doing drama for effect? You know that Jesus, he's so melodramatic. Let me tell you, a flood is coming. Jesus says a flood is coming. Judgment is coming. You heard it here. You heard it from Jesus. How do you know? Well, he's done it before. If you go back in history far enough, he flooded the whole world. He's done it before. Every time you see a rainbow, remember, God will judge. He will judge. But as you look at the story of Jesus, I can't help noticing two things. I don't know if you noticed this. Can you see that these two people look the same on the surface? Because it's about what's below. Rock, sand. Above the surface, they look the same. Let me tell you about the Smiths. The Smiths have got a house in Joondalup. Let me tell you about the Joneses. The Joneses have got a house in Greenwood. Both are building their houses. Both are building their lives. They look the same. The Smiths have got two kids at school. They're doing okay. They're dedicated parents. They love their kids. The Jones have got two kids. They're dedicated parents, excellent parents. One kid struggles a bit, but they're very patient. They love their kids. The Smiths in Joondalup support charity. They give some money to Compassion. And the Joneses in Greenwood, great, great family. They help out at a local charity now and then. You know, they look the same, except the Smiths love the Dockers and the Joneses love the Eagles, but we won't go into that. But they look the same. Same joys, same struggles, same holidays, same good times, same bad times, and both call themselves Christians. Both. They look the same. Underneath, the foundation's very different. The Smiths are good people. The Joneses love Jesus' words. The Smiths, well, they like the church. They go to a church pretty regularly. It's a bit of a rock concert. You don't get to hear Jesus' words. Nothing said that'll upset you. And they take their youth with them. It's a great youth. Very popular. Oh, look, they don't teach Jesus' words to the youth. But hey, you know, they say they're Christian, so they must be, right? So it can't be bad for my child not hearing about Jesus. But I'm sure it's fine. They all say they're Christians. They all use the word Jesus. I'm sure it's fine. The Jones love the Bible. Daddy takes out the Bible and reads Jesus' words to his family. And they talk about those words. Daddy wants his child to go to a youth where it's not just fun and games, but where they actually get taught Jesus' words. He's a bit picky about that. The Smiths even go to a cell group. Oh, look, we don't study the Bible. We just, you know, we share life together. You know, we're Christians. You know, yeah, of course we believe in Jesus. We, you know, but we don't really study his words. The Jones go to a growth group where they hang on every word Jesus says. They look the same. Smith and Jones look the same. Both call themselves Christians. And as you look at them, and you're looking at these lovely families, and they are lovely families, behind them, the storm clouds are gathering. It's black. It's dark. The clouds are gathering. Oh, you're so picky. Their lives look the same. The storm clouds are getting darker. You can hear rumble of thunder. The horizon's dark. Why are you going to be so judgmental? It's not that. You're picky, picky. And the storm clouds are getting darker. And there's lightning. And the wind's picking up. How are their lives any different? They look the same to me. And boom, the flood comes. Everything is swept in its path. And you turn and look. And only the Jones are left standing. Those lovely, nice people, the Smiths, are swept away. Not everyone, says Jesus. Why don't I give you a moment to think seriously about what Jesus says? Let's all bow our heads and let's really listen to what he says. Perhaps he has a prayer for everyone. If you've heard the words of Jesus this morning, you can harden your heart or you can go soft. Here is a prayer for those of you who choose to go soft. Lord Jesus, I believe you. You are the judge. You died for me. Please save me. Please help me to know you. Help me to build my life on your words. Amen.